I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You have Browns fans, and then you have Browns fans who actually write about everything NFL and still get away with being Browns fans. And that's Mark Sessler from NFL.com, who joins us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mark, how are you, sir?
Hey, well, I'm Mark. Doing all right. I'm doing very good today. I couldn't be more pleased with what unfolded last evening.
Main reason why?
Well, I think you look at the offseason for all of these teams sort of holistically, the free agency period spilling into the draft and how those two exercises complement each other. And in Cleveland's case, adding Jack Conklin to the right side long-term, and then you go and get Jedrick Wills, a guy who, you know, I'm convinced it was their number one tackle on their board. And the way that the draft sort of just unfolded, there were other scenarios where, let's say, Tua had dropped and the Dolphins, as some had whispered about, went and got a tackle early, and a run on tackles began. Cleveland would have been in a position where they maybe would have had to make a move up or ignore that position for someone else. Instead, Wills falls right into Cleveland's lap. They don't have to make a move. I think they couldn't be happier with what they've done with their offensive line over the past few months. And it completely changes a weak point of last year's offense. So in terms of a team-building stance and what Andrew Berry has done this offseason, I think that along with the acquisitions, which look really positive, there's increased confidence in this front office. And I just think that the way that, you know, last night people were wondering how everything would go for the league in general. But if you drill down to Cleveland, it's how is a new GM and the 88th GM they've had in 88 years going to handle this? And it was seamless. And I just get a sense of unity between coach and front office, which has been missing for so long. So along with the picks, it's just the way that the Browns are doing business over the past few months is a reason for optimism.
Mark, how do you think it came to be that they were able to make that pick at 10? Because I don't think a lot of people thought he would be there. And if I think maybe it was because Andrew Thomas went earlier. Maybe that's what – how did it come to be last night that he happened to be the right guy at the right spot for the right team?
Yeah, I think that there weren't a lot of surprises in the first 14, 15 picks or so. A lot of it, I mean, if you look at mock drafts going into last night, a lot of it unfolded in the way at least that many thought it would. But there was a scenario, and, you know, Paul DePodesta mentioned this too, that they went through multiple scenarios where maybe you get to your pick and three of those tackles are gone. And it's just, I think that the linchpin for me was Miami and Los Angeles, the Chargers, going quarterback versus something else. Both of those teams were candidates to take tackles themselves. And as you mentioned, you know, Thomas was someone that I thought maybe Cleveland might be eyeing at their pick. He goes early. And there were, you know, a group of four tackles that, depending on who you spoke to, everyone had a different opinion who was on top of that list. And it's fortuitous. I mean, you know, the drafts are so unpredictable, and you have to go through, if you're sitting in that spot where they were, you have to go through a billion different incarnations of where you might be sitting when it comes to your turn. And, you know, probably when they got to, you know, past some of those teams that were tackle needy, they realized this is going our way and we're going to get our guy and at least get our first or second tackle, not our third or fourth, which I think at that case they might have gone. You could have seen them maybe go in the direction of Isaiah Simmons or just maybe trade the pick down. Cleveland seemed to me like a target for other teams to come trade up and take that pick, and Cleveland moved down a little. And they didn't have to because they really fell in love with the option they had right there in Wills.
And, Mark, I think that's critical here. Andy and I were texting each other last night, and we both said, this thing is setting up for a trade because those tackles are still sitting there. And I was almost surprised they didn't, but I think you just nailed it. The guy they wanted is sitting right there. Why screw around, right? Take your guy and move along. And I thought that was kind of refreshing to see. I liked it a lot.
It was. And it's, you know, I think if you're at this point a Browns fan that's, you know, been through a lot of different philosophical approaches by the front offices, that you don't want to get too cute and you don't want to move down and suddenly be a team that has, you know, 12 fourth round picks, but you didn't really get one of these early round studs. And this draft is so deep, and it's deep in areas that helps Cleveland. And so it was just, you know, it's not just the Browns. I think so many teams couldn't be more thrilled with what happened. I mean, the Broncos, I thought, would have to trade up to get a wide receiver, which was a critical need for them. And instead, Jeudy falls right in their lap. And the Falcons got the cornerback they wanted. When I thought, you know, they were a candidate to trade up with Detroit at 3, and none of this stuff happened. And I thought one of the stories of the draft last night was how quiet the trade activity was early on, how swiftly it moved along. And I was just sort of wondering, is it because, you know, you're not in a war room environment where you've got maybe at the last minute a lot of people with a lot of different voices, a little bit more of a stripped down operation, and teams having to be extremely focused going into this one and already going through all these different scenarios. But really, it's just that it's one of the deeper drafts we've seen in so long that teams probably just projected, we're going to get someone we really like where we're sitting, and that certainly applies to Cleveland.
Or maybe just the yacht was going to run out of fuel and they wanted to make a quick pick, right?
Is that... There's that, too. There's that, too. I mean, that's a huge option.
Prioritize for the Browns tonight by position what you think they should do with these picks tonight.
I think that, again, they're sitting in a really good position because if they want to look at safety, you've got a trio of safeties sitting out there that are options. I think linebacker, a guy like Zach Bond still sitting out there. I thought he might go last night. You know, you can pad the defensive line. I wouldn't hate if Cleveland at some point tonight, they've got these three picks, thought about another wide receiver, because just, you know, there's nothing wrong with developing another pass catcher in a league where you need to roll out three or four pass catchers all the time. And there's a guy like T. Higgins sitting out there, Denzel Mims. I mean, there are names, and I would love to see someone like Antoine Winfield Jr. in a Browns uniform. I mean, there's options. And again, I don't think they need to get too cute and move up or down. I mean, I could see them doing that. If there was a path to add maybe another third rounder, that would be immense, because obviously they already have two. And I think this day of the draft is always my favorite, even more than round one, which, you know, other than last night, comes with a laundry list of bells and whistles. It's really on the second day where, in this draft specifically, there are so many talented players who got first-round grades and are still there, that I think it's just another great situation for Cleveland, but a bunch of other teams too. So if I were them, I would go right after what you need and what you want tonight.
Mark Sessler is joining us from NFL.com. And, Mark, with that thought in mind, here you sit, you do have some holes on defense, and I think any of us would say you draft a safety, fine, linebacker, fine, edge rusher, fine, and we both threw out wide receiver as well, as you did. But after watching last night, and I know it was just one pick, but it followed up a real sensible free agent signing period for the Browns. What impressions do you have of Andrew Berry now, and it's only one pick again, but combined with what he did in free agency and what his approach seems to be to building this team?
appropriately aggressive, extremely organized. When they say these are the types of players we're looking for, those are the types of players they sign. There's starting to become a profile of what it means to be a Cleveland Brown, and I think Wills fits that. And I know there's some concern about switching from right to left, but of course he was protecting for a left-handed quarterback in Tua last year. There's some parallels there. And also, I think looking at what the coaching staff preferred, I mean, it's huge to me that the Browns have one of the best offensive line coaches in the league in Bill Callahan, someone who helped Tyron Smith and Dallas move from the right side to the left. He's done that work. He signed off on this pick. He felt that Wills had the skill set. So again, it's marrying the needs, the desires, the viewpoints of the coaching staff with what the front office is looking for in a player. And if people were concerned that they were going to go totally off the grid and pull someone from the deep wilderness because of an analytical grade, I think those concerns are just gone. The Browns have found a way, like most teams at this point, to marry the analytical approach with the football guys and the coaching staff and everything else. And I just can't remember a combination of coaches and front office people in Cleveland that seemed to go through an offseason with very little drama in a way that simply made the team better. I think this is the way that certain teams in the league have operated for a long time, and those are the teams that consistently get into the postseason and succeed. And it is a absolute stark contrast to the Black Mirror episode that unfolded last year. I mean, that the ability, the organizational level of this Cleveland Browns front office right now, I think, is the asset that sticks out to me. They seem to really know what they want to accomplish, and they found a way to do it.
Did you have a wow moment last night?
A wow moment for me?
Yes.
I think it's when I had the Green Bay Packers trading up in the draft, but to absolutely find a way to give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. I cannot believe what they did. Now, I don't hate the pick at all for them to go get Jordan Love, but it's a move that completely changes the narrative of this offseason and the path for Aaron Rodgers going forward. This is the last year that Aaron Rodgers has guaranteed money on his contract. And it's funny, Chris Wessling on our podcast made the point that that was the moment in the draft that made him and all of us feel really old, because we all remember when Rodgers did the same to Brett Favre coming into Green Bay, and now it's just been done to Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is a year older than Brett Favre when that happened. So that whole process and what Green Bay decided to do there in trading up for a quarterback, that threw me.
And
any chance, any chance he demands a trade or wants to get out of there now?
I don't think this season, because you're still a Super Bowl window team, and Jordan Love is probably someone who, you know, in theory, they say this about all these quarterbacks, then someone's in trouble and bang, they're starting in week four. I mean, it happens over and over. But this is a case where Jordan Love would clearly redshirt and sit for a while. But after this season, I would say all bets are off because of, A, the contract situation with Aaron Rodgers, and just how this plays out. I mean, you know, there was a story last night that Brian Gutekunst, the GM, hadn't even spoken to Rodgers since this pick was made. So, it leaves you know, Packers beat writers delighted, because suddenly they've got a dynasty, like a Dallas-level, like dynasty-level soap opera to follow. But at the same time, I mean, what does it do to Aaron Rodgers mentally, and what does it do to that whole team kind of just wondering what's happening? So, that whole thing to me could go anywhere as of next offseason.
Especially when you have a guy in Aaron Rodgers who is on the record as saying, I want to be like Drew Brees and Tom Brady. I want to play until I'm 40. Well, that's five more seasons, Mark.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he's someone that could do that, I think, too. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a quirkier personality than some of the quarterbacks out there. And I think it's up for debate on how inviting he would be to another quarterback. Maybe he learned from the Favre thing and would want to be a kind helper to someone coming in there. But come on, that pick is made saying your job is on the line now. And it's just shocking to me that that is where we are with Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, just a few seasons ago was considered heads and tails the most talented, physically talented quarterback in the league.
I'm anxious to see what happens tonight. I wouldn't be surprised if they get cute a little bit, and by cute I don't mean anything drastic, but a trade here and there. Would you, do you think there are enough good defensive prospects and good wide receivers in this draft, Mark, that if you're Andrew Berry, you'd think about moving an asset from next year to move up into maybe another second round pick, or bounce some things around a little bit? Or are you just standing pat?
I think they can afford to stand pat because, unlike some other years, it's not like every position needs an upgrade. That said, I find draft picks to be a bit overvalued compared to falling in love with a player that you know you're going to have for 5 years that just absolutely changes your team. And so I'd almost go for it if I were Cleveland, if there was someone that you were just absolutely in love with, and then find a way to acquire draft picks down the road. And I think they're going to get into the game of compensatory picks becoming a big part of their process. That's what the better teams are doing. And we'll see more and more of that as some of these veterans have to leave Cleveland in free agency too. So I think you just go after the player that you feel is the best fit for the Cleveland Browns, and you pick up the pieces later. I mean, that said, I think in this draft specifically, and this isn't always the case, they can sit where they are and feel very good about some of the players that will come to them.
Mark, thank you very much for your time, buddy. Anxious to see what happens tonight.
I had one more quick question. Are you covering the draft in a bathrobe? Is that the right way to do it? Is that the formal way you should?
Right now I'm in boxer shorts and this sort of grubby Nike shirt that hasn't been washed in 2 weeks.
TMI.
Okay, good. Well, I just wanted to make sure. Because I just got a feeling last night after watching the draft that we should all be doing everything in a bathrobe. I think that's the way to go now.
I think that's the vibe. And like, if I my problem is the only bathrobe in our house is owned by my wife. So, you know, that would be that'd be a next level move on my part. But I'm going to consider it.
Get the fuzzy slippers to go along with it, Mark. It'll be a great look for you.
I love it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Mark Sessler, NFL.com. Thank you, bud. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.